There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
Hey, we're back. Midday Mobile on 106.5 with Sean Sullivan. I am Mr. Mobile, John Young, filling in for Sean today. And Dalton and I were just having this conversation before the break about the state of Alabama just signed, the governor, Kay Ivey, the high-stepper, just signed in legislation a law banning cell phones, students using cell phones in high school. I agree. But how are you going to enforce that when children are addicted to their cell phones? How, you can't keep kids from vaping in schools. How are we going to enforce that? We have to be ready to suspend that child immediately or fist fight that child. These are addicts. They're addicted to their cell phones. I'm not downing the law. I think it's great. But there better be a provision for hiring more police officers and school resource officers and tasers and what they used to call them, straitjackets that they put in insane people in, because these kids are addicted to technology. They can't go 6 seconds without looking at their phone. They have humps in their necks at a young age because they're constantly bent over looking at their cell phone. They cannot verbally communicate. They have to send you text messages, and even those are in broken down English. But great. I'm glad the law is signed. But Dalton, we better be ready for suspending a lot of kids and arresting a lot of kids.
Yeah. Like you said, be ready for a fist fight with some of these kids.
Right.
Try to take that away. And I've seen mine get angry, 4 and 6 years old. And at least with them, if they're angry, I can hold them up and out at arm's length.
Right.
And they could swing all day. But some of these bigger kids could probably cause some damage if the teacher tries to take away the cell phone.
The steroids in the food are making them stronger. I've seen toddler babies throw tantrums when their iPad things are taken away from them. You see kids in the grocery store sitting inside of a basket. They're not out walking holding their mom's hand. They're sitting inside the basket with a pad and iPad in their hand. And listen, I get it. It is a good way to distract them and keep them quiet. But what else? What harm are you doing? They aren't learning verbal skills or communicative skills. They aren't learning social skills with you. They don't know how to hold hands or trust or stand near you. They can't communicate with one another. They can't make eye contact. Their vision is bad. Their memory. There's research studies that are proven the longer time you spend on social media on your cell phone, it's bad for the brain.
Well, let me ask you, let me parlay that discussion to another one that's happening, and the bill didn't make it through, and I don't know if it will today, but another one that they've been discussing is social media and whether social media sites should allow teenagers and children to use their sites without age verification, which is obviously controversial. And then, like you said, with this school bill, how do you enforce it? Those are other questions, but from what you've been talking about for so long and the violence after school, if social media weren't a thing, if these kids weren't hopping on TikTok and talking trash to each other outside of the school halls,
right?
That would make things better, you think?
Without a doubt, it would diminish violence, especially the more violent acts we've had with shootings where these guys are talking back and forth and insulting each other over social media, and one of them says, pull up means come to where I am, and they send their location or they're out somewhere and they peg them and then shoot up. Absolutely. Anti-social media is what John Scroggins and I calls it. Because it's not socializing anybody. It's making isolation or pockets of groups of people that only communicate, and they can't communicate outside that group. So listen, make vaping illegal in school, make cell phone illegal in school, make anti-social media illegal in school. Just be prepared to enforce it because it's not going to be easy. These kids are addicts.
A lot of texts we can get to here as well on the Mallory Piping text line, 251-343-0106. Paul texting in, asking you, John, do you think some of this gun violence is just lashing out, like shooting at cars on Dauphin Street, on Dauphin at Blacklawn a few days ago in the morning, and stealing and trashing the Brew Y'all trailer, a story that was that went viral last week?
I think it's just immorality. Lashing out might be throwing a tantrum at home. I know sometimes I become frustrated and yell out loud at home, but it's more than that. We have an immoral society. Just like with the kids, we shouldn't have to have legislation. Parents should have told their children, sit down and shut up at a young age. Parents should have taught their children, when a teacher tells you to do something, you do it. Parents should teach their children, respect the police and don't point guns at them. So the problem is, it begins at home. It always begins at home. But then it becomes a greater problem the older they get, because now immorality is their way of life. It becomes a gun is the solution now. And that's why they run to it so easily. Listen, I got a good friend named Ricky Duran. He runs Southern Hand Slugfest. If these kids really want to get down, call me and I'll put you in hand and contact with him, and he will not only put you in a fight, he'll pay you if you win it. How about that?
That's a pretty good deal.
That's not a bad deal. If you really feel violent, I'll put you in contact with my friend Ricky D at Southern Hand Slugfest. He will put you in a ring with a headgear and gloves on your hands, and we will let you fight 3 1-minute rounds and pay the winner. That goes for any of these wannabe gangster thug people. If you really want to get down, call me, and we'll let you guys settle it like men.
And we've seen that change lives before. Someone, putting that violence into a focused and more safe location, I guess. As far as the shooting into vehicles that Paul referenced there, how often, because you see so much of this in real time, how often when you see that cars have gotten shot up, are those people that are, or homes, just trying to send a message and not intent on killing anyone, or how often are they actually just trying to go after someone and some cars get shot up in the process?
Well, they're always trying to send a message and hurt someone, but unfortunately they usually hit the wrong cars and wrong house. That's the hard part about these brute beasts. They're violent and they have poor aim. They have poor trigger control and sight alignment. So when they shoot, they know there's a propensity for killing someone, so they're fine with that. If you looked at the people that were arrested for killing Ms. Craig, when they came out the back door, their eyes were empty. You saw no remorse. You saw no fear in them. You saw no, oh my God, what have I done? They've become so cold to what they're doing. They'll shoot into a house knowing that there are old people in it or women and children. The immorality has reached a point that the Bible said that if you turn from God long enough, he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. And that just means that you don't even see what you're doing is wrong anymore. And that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, we had that one story, and I'm going to mistime this. I think it was around Mardi Gras. There was a guy on top of a roof shooting, I think they said an AK. I think they said it was an AK-47 and shot a mother or her daughter or both, and then apologized to them and said, I wasn't trying to shoot
you. Right, yeah, I vaguely remember that also. But that's what we
apologized.
Did.
Like, while they were there.
Right, and the lady whose her son was in from out of town and shot. These guys are just immoral brute beasts. That is the best word I can use to describe them. They're urban terrorists because their actions are causing fear and panic to a society. And for some, Dalton, some are just angry dogs that have to be put down. There are some that are irredeemable. They cannot be saved. Only thing that's going to stop them is God, prison, or someone else confronts them with the same level of violence.
Mallory Piping text line 251-343-0106. This texter says this guy speaks the truth. Absolutely love him.
Oh, love you back.
Tony Ann, crime, including domestic violence, is a choice.
Mm-hmm. It is. And we don't talk enough about domestic violence either until something tragic happens. And that's immorality. Kids that are growing up in an insensitive environment learn to be insensitive. When they see violence, and that's why it is so detrimental that fathers and mothers raise their children together. I failed at it, okay? I'm not pointing a finger at anyone, but it is very important because kids learn that balance. If a child is born into a fourth generation single mother home where he only sees an angry woman, an angry bitter woman, or a girl only sees that, then they emulate that and that's what they become. Girls get used to being smacked around by boys and boys get used to smacking girls around. Their outlet is violence. That's all they've seen. When you see parents yelling and shouting at toddler babies, or they're walking in front of a toddler baby screaming at him, bring your butt on here, that's trauma to that child. When they're learning, they need to learn security. I'm a sucker for toddler babies. Drew, who comes on with me sometimes, he has two toddler babies. When they're with Uncle JY, he spoils them. I'll pick them up. They have done nothing wrong. I don't care. They're the sweetest things in the world. See, I overcorrect. You know, but even they correct their children. And that's what it takes, a gentle kindness that when they are older, you just have to look at them. This is what the families are failing. And I am not by any means saying I got it right. I'm telling you what not to do. Do not have children outside of marriage.
You know, another one I think of with my two girls, and of course, you think of how dads are raising their boys, what kind of man they'll emulate. Same for women raising daughters. What kind of woman do you want them to emulate? What keeps me in line, part of what keeps me in line, is the man my daughters see will likely be kind of the template for who they end up with, right? That's what they expect a man to be, so that's what they go for. So if I'm acting up, if I'm being a bad dad, I'm worried my kids will go up one day and think that's what a dad is supposed to be, and that's the kind of man that they're looking for. So that's something I keep in mind, too. If you're a man and you have daughters or a mom that has boys, think about who you want them to be with down the line.
That is
who you want them to
that is
be
exactly
like.
Right. That is absolutely well said. You know, daddy's little girl ain't no hoe, and daddy's little boy ain't no punk.
Yeah, yeah. Texter here, what will it take to open up more mental health facilities? I firmly believe mental health plays a big part in the high crime rates in the city. One example was the guy shooting at cars on Dauphin Street. So a couple of references to that today. The media said he had a history of alcoholism and mental health disorder. That's from Mob Dog.
Mob Dog, you're absolutely right. Remember, maybe a decade ago, Alabama closed down more mental health facilities faster than any state in the union. Then they outsourced it to privatize it to companies that now pack 10 people into a four-bedroom home, all of which have mental health issues, and no one's monitoring them to make sure they're taking their medication. We need to vote for people who realize mental health is an issue and reopen mental health facilities. We have to have public institutions with licensed, trained physicians and doctors on hand to ensure that some of those with mental health issues that can't take care of themselves and could be a danger are isolated from the remaining civilized public. That goes back to my opening monologue. We have to elect people to represent the will of the people. We can't keep allowing people to take donations and lobbyist money and trips and perks and, or my buddy owns this business and I'm going to get in with him on it and make sure he gets the contract. We have to elect honest people who are going to tell the truth. Listen, you've heard me talk about vagrants, and I make a distinction between vagrancy and homelessness. Homelessness is someone that wants housing and can't afford it or doesn't have it. The man who went through a divorce or the single mom who left an abusive relationship. Those are people that want, the vagrants are the people that are standing out here on the street corner begging every day. Some of them may have mental health issues, but they're smart enough not to stand out there in the rain and cold, and they know the difference between a $20 bill and a fake 20. So they're not that far gone. But if they need help, listen, the City of Mobile Police Department has this homeless initiative that they've been starting with the city. It does great outreach. I mean, they're just really out there. So if people want help, it's there. But the vagrants that pretend that there's something wrong with them, dude, I'd round them up in a heartbeat and send them to re-education facilities.
Yeah, never thought of the vagrants who can spot a counterfeit.
Right, dude.
You're giving money to someone who has a counterfeit pen out there.
Or Cash App. They'll tell you the Cash App, dude.
Oh, man. This text before the break, we have so many to get to, so many texts.
All right, I'll stop talking so much.
This texter says, I've often wanted to go up to adult women and ask them if they have mirrors in their house so they can see how indecent they look in public.
Maybe we should carry them around.
Carry the mirrors. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Hop on, get your questions and takes in, and we'll get to more right after the news.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We're back, Midday Mobile on 106.5. Your normal host is Sean Action Man Sullivan. He's out today. I'm filling in for him. I'm your host, John C. Young, Mr. Mobile. You can call me JY if you send something in to the Mallory Piping text line. What else do we have, Dalton?
Yeah, let's go to the text line. And John here, texting you, John, says, John, your entry song, so your intro, he says, should be I'm Still a Guy by Brad Paisley, which I was thinking about that the other day. I don't know if the song by Brad Paisley, talk about how feminized the world has become. But I'm Still a Guy.
Okay.
That song's like 20 years old now.
Really?
And you think of what's happened in those two decades.
Right.
How much more feminized this country and world has become. But that song still kind of fits. He says you can't pick up a tackle box when you have lotion on your hands.
That's right. And it's only gotten worse. It's a shame that we saw this coming 20 years ago and that it gained steam. And it was promoted. It was propaganda. It was targeted. It's real. And now we have men not only getting their toes done, they're getting their fingernails done and eyebrows arched. They even have men buying weave at this point. Yeah, dude. It's not just that. I put lotion on. I wear shea butter because I don't want to have a dry skin. But I will never go and find, oh, I need this coconut oil sensual bath rub to make my skin soft. Good. If I want to have calluses. Yeah, I have to check that song out. Thank you. But we have become effeminized in our emotions and our mentality, our behavior and our dress and our speech.
Irish Indian says, we all stumble and fall short. John, you've done a great job. God is good all the time. That's from Irish Indian.
Thank you, Irish Indian. I love Irish culture and Indian culture.
Let's see here. Mr. Mobile for Chief of Police. That's what one texter here says. Says, Brother Young, give a shout out to my mother. She turned 85 years old, and she really taught a lot of young ladies how to dress. So that's
happy birthday, Mom.
That's from KBD's.
Happy birthday, KBD's mom. And my grandmother, my mama, she smoothed out her dresses when she sat down. I never saw my grandmother wear a pair of pants, ever. Saw her wear a pair of pants. And once she married my papa, she never worked a day in her life. She was a homemaker and proud of it. We got to get back to family, American core family values.
Let's see. Dirt Digger says, JY, when we were kids, it was harder for your race. Things now are easier for these guys. Why kill each other and all help each other? The Lord says we are all his children. Doesn't matter what race you are. Your father and mother did a great job for their children.
Because families broke down. I was born in 71, and that's when families, kids born out of wedlock were in the low 20 percentile. Now it's almost 80%. Families broke down. That's what happened. That's what led to everything that we see now in feminism. Here are the worst things that happen in society. Welfare, it made men and women stop marrying. Feminism convinced women they did not need a man. Crack cocaine, it made crackheads out of so many of our children and our fathers and mothers and put a lot of people in prison and killed a lot of people. The feminization of man has come along and normalized men shaving their legs and gangster rap music. And then this whole hashtag LBG, PGNY, LUNLNV movement that normalized promiscuity, it normalized failed families, it normalized two people being together and not being, it normalized everything wrong between interpersonal romantic relationships. Those are the worst things that have happened to society. It's not too late to turn it around, but more patriots need to start standing up and speaking out against it.
This is from Old Drink Slinger texting in. Why can't we have law classes starting in middle school with a program like Scared Straight? And I think most people have seen some form of the Scared Straight program. Do you think that would that stop a kid these days seeing what it's like in prison, seeing, you know?
No, because they've already seen it. They're online seeing it already. What we need and it's civics in class. Let's just teach how government works again. Let's teach. I know bankers used to come to school when I was there and explain credit rating and scores. But let's tell the parents. Let's shame parents. Let's not give a 13-year-old a baby shower. Let's not encourage 14 and 15-year-old boys to have sex and have children. Let's normalize. If we straighten out the family, everything else falls into line. We have to make families normal again. That's my point.
Texter here, and we'll go to the break here. We've got 1 minute until the news. But this texter, we were talking about the phones in schools. Mm-hmm. Ivy signed the law in today saying that's no longer allowed in public schools in Alabama. This texter says they're trying to protect the worthless teachers. It's going to take one school shooting and people not being able to call their loved ones before they die to end this bill. And
wait, what?
So he's saying that if there's a shooting and no one could text about it, that they'll end up reversing this whole
thing. No, call 911. Why are you calling your parents telling them that you're dying? First, hide, evade, and escape. Then call 911. Mm-hmm. The last thing you need to do is call your parents. What are they going to do?
251-343-0106, the Mallory Piping text line. And here in this last 30 minutes of Midday Mobile with guest host John Young, we'll get to your texts.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We're back from the break, Midday Mobile, with your host, John Mr. Mobile Young. I'm filling in for Sean Action Man Sullivan. You know, you just heard that this station, rightly so, are up for several categories in the nappies, but I'd like to tell everyone I'm up for two categories in the nappies, the best Mobilian and the epitome of a servant leader. If you guys feel I'm worthy, please vote. I never won anything in my life. I'm not sure if I deserve it, but if you think so, I'm all for it. What has happened to society? And I think it's broken families. If people think it's something else, I'd like to hear from you. But we point at welfare, the great society that Lyndon Baines Johnson intended to create, and it was an absolute failure, in my opinion, because whatever you incentivize, you get more of. If you incentivize families, not husbands not marrying, you'll get more of it. If you tell women they don't need a husband, you'll get more unmarried women and children outside of marriage. Failing schools get more money than schools that are passing. Whatever we incentivize, we get more of. I wish we could get back to just saying husbands and wives, marry before you carry. You know, get to know the person that you are, who's trying to court you or date you, know their values, know their work ethic, know their family. There are instances here in Mobile where some baby makers have been so prolific that they've had siblings date each other because they didn't have the same last name and they didn't know the family history of the person they met. And those are the things we need to avoid. I believe all the violence, all the issues we see in the city begins with broken homes. Something else people need to be aware of is, like, there's a meeting about the dredging that's going on in the Mobile Bay. They're dumping dredge water in Mobile Bay, and it's killing fish life. I think Rob Holbert wrote about it in this month's Land Gap. These are the things we have to be interested in. I know that's off topic of families, but I wanted to mention it and remind people that we have a civic duty to get involved. The Mobile Bay is our bay. No one's going to rename Mobile Bay, right? So it's ours. And all of us have gone and swum in the bay. All of us have fished in the bay. All of us have been a part of the bay, so we need to protect it.
Yeah, I think that town hall is coming up tomorrow night. I need to look up where it is. That escapes me. And I never want to correct you, but you have won something. You won the 2023 Alabamian.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Here at FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you for correcting me. I sure did.
You were the winner, two years ago for the year of 2023.
I sure was. Thank you.
And your work with Men United Against Violence.
Right.
And that was a big year. Last year was a big year, and hopefully 2025 is an even bigger year for Men United Against Violence. Doesn't have Meta texting in and says, parents use devices to occupy children while they are out in public. Maybe people should stay home more with kids and interact with them. You don't have to be out all of the time.
I cannot agree with you more. I'm a bachelor, so I eat out a lot. And the lines are wrapped around the drive-through Monday to Sunday. You're absolutely right. The most important time families have is dinner time, because that's when they share the same thought when they pray together. You're absolutely right. More time at home. Cook more healthy meals.
And asking you shall receive. Thank you, Brandon. He is quick with it today. That town hall, the mud dumping town hall, is at St. Philip on DIP. So St. Philip Catholic Church, DIP. And that's tomorrow night at 6 until 7:30, what John was just talking about there. And Brandon says, the problem is no one that needs to hear this talk the most listens to talk radio. And the message will make its way, but how do you talk to someone who doesn't want to listen, John?
Well, we present it once and twice, and after that, we just leave them to it. We Drew and I will go anywhere, anytime, especially if you buy us lunch, and talk to anyone about any about our what we stand on. I'll go to any church, anywhere, anytime. I'll go to any school, anywhere, anytime. If you see me walking in Lowe's and you want to talk, fine. But the message has to get out. And when people say preaching to the choir, where the choir has problems too, they aren't perfect. You know, they're saved sinners just like everyone else. So the message is for everyone. What we try to do is encourage the choir to carry the message out. If those who believe what we believe aren't telling the story, then we surely can't expect the ignorant to tell the story. So, yeah, we need to hear this message and become encouraged. I need to hear the text lines to encourage me. You need to hear my voice encouraging you, and that's how we continue taking the message out.
This texter with some encouragement says, thank you, John, for the mental health care. So they liked your comments on mental health.
Yeah, and it's a real issue. Vagrancy, homelessness, they're real issues. We have to, listen, people, we have to begin electing people that are going to stand up and do the people's will. It's just that simple. And I know my position. I'm not knocking any current administration, whether it's local, state, or federal. I am not saying anyone's not doing a good job. I am saying that we have a responsibility to hold each other and government accountable. That's all.
To Mob Dog texting back in. And reminder, the Mallory Piping text line, 251-343-0106. You can text. That's what we've been doing. You can also call that same number, and we'll get you on the air. But Mob Dog said, most of the women who wear the spandex leggings are just wearing them to hold their bellies in. And then he said, I said what I said. So Mob Dog's standing on it.
Woof, woof. That's it, buddy. Some of them aren't doing a very good job at that either.
T.A. texting in and says, J.Y., I am from class 49. Don't know about you having a face for radio, but you sure have the voice. You sound great, brother. Keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you. Thank you. I think if he's from 49, I probably put him through the academy. Wonderful.
Mm. Amen, Mr. Young. That's from Mark in West Mobile.
Thank you.
C.B. Carl says, you talk about kids being allowed to be on the phone and tablets. When I was a child, I wasn't allowed to watch Saturday morning cartoons until my father inspected my bedroom.
Right. We have to get back to discipline. There should be a reward associated with anything extra. You know, and a punishment, and that's for punishment for bad behavior. We can't, whatever you incentivize, you'll get more of.
C.B. Carl also says, mentions the lovely Laura here. He says, Laura always holds it against the feminists for kicking the pedestal out from under the ladies. And that's kind of true, and you've talked about that
before. That's exactly what happened. A bunch of happily married women were told that they had to be equal to their husband by a bunch of unhappy women that lied to them and told them they didn't have to shave their armpits and they don't have to wear a bra. And now look at the mess we're in. Once upon a time, a single income could provide a house, for a car, and vacation for an entire family. And that did not make women weaker. They had in a specific role. Listen, now being a mother, a homemaker, has to be tough work. I've never experienced anyone paying my bills, but it has to be hard work of preparing meals, being the comforter, finances, taking care of finances, going to school meetings. That's a tough job. And if a woman has a man who can provide for her to do that job, ladies, accept it. Just accept it.
Mm. Joel, and this is something you've been discussing as well on and off this episode, I don't understand why they took the punishment out of schools.
It was, I don't like the term liberal or conservative, but this was a liberal lawyer that said that spanking was causing children mental anguish and trauma. And a couple of lawsuits came out saying a teacher spanked a child too hard. This was in the late 80s. Early 90s when it started. I don't think it took full fruition until the mid-90s, and that's what happened. They began coddling kids again. You know, we went to coaches can't yell at the kids, and participation trophy started coming out around that time. So that's what happened. We took the pain out of discipline, and discipline with pain is more easily remembered than giving in to your children and ignoring their bad behavior.
Yeah, and I went to Clark Prep, so a private school in Grove Hill, and I think the public schools had already gotten rid of punishment for the most part. Not at the private schools, and I don't even know if any of them still have it, but even for grades, when you'd get a bad report card, if you're on the football team, if you had a D or an F, we had a quota,
right,
and you'd get paddled for whatever the grades were. So, and many of us, if you did get a paddling at school, you were going to get one at home, too, for dad, for the bad grades. Right. So do you think that has had an outsized effect, not having punishment in schools?
Oh, yes. It's a deterrent. If I know the consequence of Coach Jones, that's how they you say coach them, Coach Jones with the paddle that had the holes in it for less wind resistance, and he'd hit you and lift you off the floor. Yes, I'm going to go to class on time. Yes, I'm going to pass because I want to play ball. Yes, of course there's consequences to it. If you know your dad is going to, I was talking to my buddy about this, risk versus reward. What are my chances of going to this party and getting away with it as opposed to getting caught? If I thought I could get away with it, fine. Because the consequences, if I got caught going to a party I had not gotten permission to, there were consequences. And I was afraid. It deterred me. And that's what we have to get back to, deterrence.
I'm scared of what I would have gotten into if I wasn't scared of what.
Right.
Larry from Daphne says, good afternoon, John. Pleasure to hear you on the radio. I have heard it said that what one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. You can apply that to the family. A generation of people have tolerated the decline in the family, and the next generation has fully embraced non-traditional views.
Yep. We allowed the lie to permeate, and we called it culture. That's exactly what happened.
Dirt Digger back says, J.Y., I wish you had time to go to schools in Mobile like the sheriffs did back we were in school. Learn for a great man, but I know you've got a lot on your plate. So he's saying he wants to see you get out and speak into the schools. That's something you've never turned down.
I will never, ever turn it down. If the school board called me or if a teacher called me, I'll be there. We go everywhere. We've never told anyone no, even to my detriment of going to speak on my birthday or weekends. I never say no.
Michael says, great job. We need this weekly, not scared to tell the truth.
Right, and that's one thing I guarantee you on my show. Just like you've seen me here, I have to be careful here. I don't want Sean to get in trouble. I don't want the station to get in trouble. But the one thing we can count on is when we talk about things, we will be honest. And if I'm wrong about something, please let me know. I'm not above correction.
And again, so John Young, if you missed the announcement to start the show. You have your own weekly show, and that starts Monday, 8 o'clock. What's the name?
It is Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, presented by Neudrolics, 8 p.m. starting Monday, and it'll be a weekly show, one-hour show. I'm looking forward to it. I need some sponsors also, by the way. So if anybody wants to sign up for a sponsorship, my phone number is 251-513-4179, or you can contact Celeste through the radio station's website.
Yeah, and she's if you want to email Celeste, celeste@fmtalk1065.com, and if you email me, I'll make sure John gets it also, right. dalton@fmtalk1065.com. Lisa in Robertsdale, we'll go to this and then the break and then get to the rest of the text before the show wraps up. Says, personally, I would, this is Lisa saying this, personally, I would like to slap the woman that thought it was a good idea for all, that all of us women needed to go to work.
You
LOL.
Should, right. You should be mad about it. Yeah.
251-343-0106. That is the Mallory Piping text line. One segment left with John Young, who is guest hosting. He's in for Sean Sullivan today. And we'll get to the remainder of the texts and also the rest of what Mr. Mobile has to say on the other side right here. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, folks. This is our last segment. I'm John, Mr. Mobile Young, filling in for Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Dalton, you said we have some more text messages.
Yeah, we have a few to get to here before the end of the show, and you can jump on if you'd like. 251-343-0106. Joel, and I'll read a couple from Joel here. Joel hitting us with a few. Said, in middle school, the coach, Coach Thompson, put boxing gloves on and out there if we started fighting in PE. Instead, he would make us box. And when I went to Murphy High School my freshman year, Coach Curtis paddled me then, Joel says. And then he says, good Lord, I think this man needs to run for mayor. I'd vote for him. He's got a whole lot of common sense. So he says,
thank you.
Mayor for Mobile, John Young.
That's, thank you. That's I'll take epitome of a servant leader, a best Mobilian. Thank you.
But you've said, and you said in this show, local politics. It's we all like to shout about the national politics,
right.
But change on the ground comes in local politics.
Your day-to-day lives are in local politics.
Michael says, please give John's number again for sponsorships.
251-513-4179.
And then texter here, thank you to 106.5 for always providing great local shows. And then honest question, why do local newspapers struggle while talk radio does well? And I don't know if you want to weigh in, John, on that. Talk radio, a lot of it I think has to do with what you've been preaching these 2 hours is local action and knowing what's going on the ground in your community, but also having a place where you can commiserate or argue about stuff from the national politics on down. I'd say local newspapers, they seem like they're struggling, certainly have, but there are a lot of online publications that maybe weren't around 15 years ago.
And I think that's what killed print media. I still enjoy reading paper, but people don't want to pick up a newspaper every day when they can tap on their phone. You know, you can get the same online subscription that you can picking up a paper. I think that's what did it.
This last text, and then we'll have about 4 minutes left here in the show. JC says to JY, sir, you are spot on. Congratulations on your radio show, and be safe. And I don't know exactly what JC means by be safe.
Watch my six, keep my powder dry. I know what he means. Thank you, and I will be. But the truth can't. You can't be afraid to tell the truth anymore. We've been pushed into and bullied into a corner where saying things like boys are boys from the beginning and girls are girls from the start. And we've been bullied and intimidated to not saying it because we don't want to be an outcast. We don't want to be canceled. Or you can't say black men need to stop killing black men without being called a racist, and I've been called a sellout. But no one has called me a liar. No one has said I've told an untruth. I've said on here before I lost one of my best friends in all the world. We've been friends 30 years about an interview I did with 1819 News. He felt like I was speaking down against black people, and that isn't the truth. I'm speaking truth so black people can live a life more abundant. I'm speaking truth to all of Mobile so we can live lives better together. That's all. So if anyone dislikes what I'm saying and it's based on fact, I'll listen to it. If it's based on emotion, or if you just don't like me, you don't like my voice, so be it. I've been disliked by people I actually loved before, so people who I don't know disliking me will have little to no effect. But I want to take my buddy Greg Callahan just sent me this, a GoFundMe page for kids wishing to go fishing. Every year for the last 20 years or so, they've taken a group of kids from the Boys and Girls Club deep sea fishing. He has a GoFundMe page. They're trying to raise $1,500. I just donated $100. If you can go on and find Kids Wishing to Go Fishing on GoFundMe and consider giving them some money, I'd really appreciate it. There, Greg, are you satisfied? The last few minutes, I'm excited about my new show, Dalton. I really am. I'm excited but nervous. I'm nervous because it's one thing to come on and have a conversation with you and Sean, is another thing to come on and be fully responsible for all the information. But we will talk about local events. I will talk local politics, but never specifically about anyone. Because of my profession, my job, because of my position, I cannot publicly get involved in that. But I will always describe the characteristics that we should look for in good men. And if you're a good man and you're a good Christian, you can't help but be a good politician, dentist, lawyer, doctor, construction worker. And that's why we preach a person's character so much. What is inside a man that needs to change? Because if we choose good people to follow, then only good could come to the group. Even when there's a bad time, with a good, strong leader, we'll make it through. I remember several years ago, when I started, maybe 20 years ago, good grief, I've gotten old. People were calling me from my dad's church and asking questions, asking for legal help and advice. And after about the 10th call, I said, Dad, why are you giving my phone number out to people? He said, well, son, if you don't help them, who will? And that's how I look at things now. If I don't do it, who will? Whom God asked, whom shall I send for me? And I said, here am I, Lord, send me. So I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a bishop. I'm just a man who loves his city, who loves his family, who loves his friends, who wants to see all of us do better. And when we know better, we should do better. When we plant these seeds in people, we want God to water and the Holy Spirit to water, and God giveth the increase. So we have to continue telling the truth, standing on principle, standing up for what's right, not being intimidated, not being bullied, and speaking truth to power. Eventually, I know, Dalton, eventually I'm going to say something that's going to hurt or make angry the wrong person. It's inevitable. But as long as they cannot say I lied, I can stand with whatever happens to me. When I made that statement, it'll be 3 years ago, this Memorial Day, about there's a subculture of gun violence in Mobile. No one ever said I lied. They just said that wasn't the right time to say it.
Hmm. There's the music. 20 seconds left. So Monday night, tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile.
That's right.
Getting started at 8 o'clock this coming Monday night, so everyone needs to listen. Same text line, 251-343-0106. Thank you so much for filling in for Sean again today.
Anytime. Thank you, guys, and have a good day.